Good morning. It's a beautiful day out. It's a little muggy, but it should be winter time again. So we've been praying and wishing that we get the summer. So we kind of asked for this type of weather. So enjoy it while we can. Good to see those who are visiting with us, and we invite you back every opportunity you have. We ask you to open up your Bibles, and we try to do things in accordance to God's Word. If you see something that we maybe are teaching false, please bring it to our attention that we can correct ourselves and try to do what God wants us to do. Also appreciate the opportunity to speak in place of Tim. He asked me last Lord's Day evening if I would take his place this morning. I said I would. So you have to put up with me a little bit this morning. I've been debating all week. I usually start out with like half a dozen lessons I got reserved at home. And as the week goes on, I get kind of narrow them down a little bit. And then I usually get down to about two Lord's Day morning. And then as I get up here, I usually pick out the one I want. And that's what I've done this morning. Speaking with my dad up there for the last few weeks, you get kind of deep subjects, and sometimes we talk about the past, what's going on now, and maybe the future. And that's what I want to talk about today, three words that we usually get involved in, but we usually don't think about the words too often. Retrospective, which means looking back, learning from the past. Introspective, learning within to inspect. Prospective, looking forward, anticipating the future. And each one of us, a Christian, needs to think seriously upon these matters. Because it does affect our life. It does affect the way we do things. And what we need to learn from the past and apply it to our future. Retrospective, which means to look backward, contemplating the past. In Deuteronomy, the 32nd chapter, verse 7, the writer there says it's good to remember our past to some extent. Remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask thy father, and he will show thee. Thy elders, and they will tell thee. Also in Job, the 8th chapter, in verse 8, for inquire, I pray thee, of the former age. Prepare thyself to search of their fathers. For we are but yesterday and know nothing. Because our days upon this earth are as a shadow. Shall not they teach thee and tell thee in other words out of their heart? Can the rush grow up without mire? Can the flag grow up without water? When we talk about the past, we're talking about things that have taken place. We are to learn from our past. We are to avoid the same mistakes. Our country is having a problem with that right now. We don't understand the things that happened within our past. The Revolutionary War that we took place years ago. The Civil War, why it was fought. And sometimes because we don't know our past and the past of other countries, we follow after the same mistakes over and over again. It's good that we look back at the Bible and understand what the Old Testament has to deal with us. It don't really apply to us to some degree because it talks about the Jews and how the Jews were treated and how they were taken care of by God at times, but also punished by God. And we need to learn from their past that God means what He says. When He tells us to do something, we need to do it. In Exodus 20, in verse 8, it said, for them to remember the Sabbath, keep it holy. Why? What was so important to the Jews for them to keep the Sabbath? Talking about the creation of the heavens and the earth. It talks about how God rested upon the seventh day. And they likewise were to do the same thing. But back in, also in Exodus, the 12th chapter, in verse 14, there was another day that they were to remember. Exodus 12 and verse 14. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial. Ye shall keep it as a feast unto the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it as a feast by ordinance forever. And that feast that he is talking about is the Passover. What did the Passover mean to the Jews? How important was it to them to remember that? If we remember our history and the scriptures as it is taught, we are talking about when they were being in slavery down in Egypt. And as they went through the 10 plagues, the last one was where they had to sprinkle the lamb's blood over the doorway, and that the firstborn would be spared. And those who didn't do such lost their firstborn. And that's why Egypt let the people go. They were delivered from the hands of Egypt. And they were to remember this. They were to pay respect to what had taken place. But likewise, we as Christians are told to remember a few things. Please turn with me to the book of Ephesians, the 2nd chapter and verse 11. Wherefore, remember that ye being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hand, that at times ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenant of the promise, having no hope without God in the world. We are to remember the fact that we were without God. We were sinful creatures in the sight of God. We had no hope. We had no opportunity to get to heaven unless we become obedient to His will. Likewise, in the book of Revelation, the 2nd chapter, He tells the congregation there that they need to remember their past. Remember, therefore, from whence thou hast fallen. Repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and remove the candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Likewise, in 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, it talks about something that is important to us as Christians, talking about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. In 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, beginning in verse 24, and when he has given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is in the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, and oft ye drink it, in remembrance of me. We as Christians, every Lord's Day, partake of the Lord's Supper. We pay respect. We remember what Christ has done for all of us as Christians. The fact that we were sinners, and that He came down from heaven and lived as one of us, suffered worse than any one of us will ever suffer within our lifetime, was willing to go through that, be nailed to the cross, hung there, made fun of, mocked, spat upon, so that we could have salvation from our sins. Likewise, in 2 Peter, the 1st chapter, in verse 12. Wherefore, if I would not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, be established in the present truth. The fact is, we as Christians, or to remember how we became Christians, and the fact that what it took for us to become Christians. And we are to remember those things, and the things that were being taught up until this time. We are to pay remembrance. We are to remember those things, and apply them, and try to add into them. It's always good to review the gospel. Always good to look at the past, how we have changed throughout our years. And we need to take a summary of our accomplishment to some degree. To see where we've been, where we're at, so that we can prepare for our future and try to avoid the mistakes we have made within our past. But at the same time, we're not to look back to something that we may want to go back to. And we need to remember that. Turn with me to Luke and the 17th chapter. Talks about a woman that lost her life because she looked back. Remember Lot's wife. What happened to Lot's wife? She was told not to do something. But she had concerns, she had cares for the worldly things. She looked back because she cared about those who were in the city that were being destroyed. And she lost her soul because of it. Second word I want to look at is introspective. To look within. To self-examine. To appraise ourselves. To take stock in what we have done. You know, it's always good to try to figure out how far we've come. I try to do that down at work. And I feel, any better term for it. Sometimes I just feel stupid down there. I feel ignorant. Because I'm trying to learn a job. And even though I've been down there for almost 3 years, I'm still in the process of trying to grab hold of the information I need to help run the machinery. And then I sit back and I think about what I used to do at my other job. And it took 4 or 5 years before I start really grasping all the knowledge that I could try to grab a hold of. And realize it's still a learning process. I still need to increase. There's still a few things. Yes, I've come a long way from when I first started on it, but I still got a long way to go. And at the same time, I'm encouraged in what I'm doing, you know, how far I've come. I'm still discouraged with myself because I'm not any farther along than what I feel I should be. And that's what we need to take a look at. How far have we come along since we became Christians? How much knowledge have you gained? How much learning of God's Word have you applied to your life? How have I changed throughout my lifetime? Is my lifestyle completely different? Is my relationship with friends different from what it used to be? Who are my friends now? Who do I hang around with? What am I involved in? We need to take a good hard look at ourselves. And sometimes it's just kind of hard. Sometimes we're just not quite honest with ourselves as we should be. And 2 John, the 8th verse. Look to yourselves, that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Take a good look at yourself. How I stand before God. What's going to happen if I died at this moment? What happened if Christ came back at this second? How do I stand before Him? Will He be willing to take me to heaven with Him? Or would I be heading for eternal damnation? Is there something in my life that I'm hiding, that I need to bring forth and repent of? Is there something in my life that I need to change and correct, that I can receive heaven as my home? Likewise, in 2 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, in verse 5, examine yourselves. Will you be in the faith? Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be a reprobate? Who understands you better than anybody else except yourself? How honest are you with yourself? How much are you striving to correct the things within the past and do what God said? If we had an X-ray machine that could show our faults, would we be embarrassed to have it done? Would we be willing to see what we need to do to correct ourselves that we can have heaven as our home? Robert Burns once said, "O wisdom, power the gift gives us to see ourselves as others see us." Ever thought about that? Have you ever really sat back and thought, "Why have other people look at me?" I do once in a while. And I wonder what other people see and what they expect out of me. And what do they think about me? What impression am I leaving upon others? We need to question ourselves upon this. The book of James talks about one that looks into a mirror. And we pretty well remember, most of us, if we've studied the Bible long enough, and we've heard stated quite a few times how we look within the mirror. James 1, verse 23 through 25. "For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholding himself goeth his way, straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty, continue therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." Think about it. How often do we look at ourselves in the mirror and turn back and then look back to see if I saw what I saw was right or if it changed? How many times? How many times do we look in that mirror to prep ourselves to get ready to go somewhere? And we constantly try to make sure we look just right before we walk out the door. Well, James asking us, take a good look at God's Word. You hear it. But if you don't do it, you're like that one that looked into the mirror and forgot what he looked like. But those who do what they're supposed to do and take these things and apply it to themselves into the perfect law of liberty, God's Word, and realize what we need to change, and we correct those things, and we do what God wants us to do, we will be blessed in our deeds. We will receive heaven as our home. Or we could be like the one in Acts 8 chapter and verse 21, Simon the sorcerer. Our heart's not quite right. And we need to do something about it. And he was told what to do at this time. Acts 8 chapter and verse 21. "Thou hast neither part nor lot in this manner, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore for this wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thy heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity." What did Peter tell? Your heart's not right. It's not in the right spot. These are not departed by us because of money. These are given to those who are righteous in the sight of God and those who are blessed by God. Spiritual gifts at that time. He wanted them. He thought he could buy them. Then he realized that God gave the blessing, not them, to those who deserved it. Those who had done His will. And Peter told him, he said, you need to correct your heart. Repent for the things you thought of and make it right. We need to make sure that we take a good look at ourselves at this time. How do I prepare before God? How do I look to others? What are they thinking of me? Am I doing the things in accordance to God's Word? Am I righteous in their sight? Or are we just another individual that claims to believe in God and just go ahead and continue to do what we want? A young man I used to work with asked his mother, he says, I've used this example before. She attended Catholic Church on Saturday night and said so many of them Hail Marys to correct herself, repented to the priest each weekend, and then she no more walk out the door and start swearing and cussing up a storm. He said, how could you do that? How? Aren't you supposed to change? Anytime I read about God's Word, there's a change. There's a difference. I don't see no change in you, Mom. How do we appear? Have we changed since we first became Christians? Have we gotten stronger? Have we studied the Bible more? Have we gotten more knowledgeable of God's will and try to do what's right? We need to question ourselves upon that. Likewise, we need to look at the term perspective. That's looking ahead, looking forward. In Exodus, the 16th chapter, tribe of Israel had a problem. They lingered on the past too long. They didn't look forward. In chapter 16 of Exodus in verse 3, children of Israel said unto them, would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, when we did eat bread to the full, for ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. They were bellyaching. They were complaining. Because they kept looking towards the past. They realized what they had, but they never looked towards the future, what God's promising to them. God made a promise to Israel. But they never thought about it. They never looked ahead as they should have. They kept looking backward. And as we talked about, when we look at our past, we're to look and learn and correct our mistakes. We're not to long for our past, but to learn from our past. And this is the difference. We need to be able to understand that we look at our past so that we can correct ourselves, learn, avoid the mistakes, not go back to them. In Luke, the 9th chapter, in verse 62, Jesus said to him, no man having put his hand to the plow, looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. We need to make sure that we don't strive to live in the past. That we keep continuing to do those things. Philippians, the 3rd chapter, and beginning with verse 13. Brother, I count not myself to be apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth for those things which are before. I press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. At the same time, he said we are to remember our past, to learn from them, correct our mistakes. But he said he didn't hold on to them. I don't want to do what I did. I want to correct. I want to strive for heaven. I want to be with God. forever. Yeah. How do you see yourself in about 10 years? 20. Ever thought about it? Oh, 10 years I'd like to do this, and in 20 years I'd like to be able to maybe retire and provide a life. We think about it to some degree, but do we really plan for it? Planning is necessary for farmers, for merchants. Unless they do such, they don't get ahead. They can't make it. Farmers just don't decide at the last second like I did this morning for my lesson at the last second and say, this is what I'm going to do. They plan ahead. They buy their crops ahead of time to be able to plant. They try to figure out what they need, what nutrients needs to be put back into the ground to raise certain crops. Merchants try to think ahead, and that they try to prepare themselves for what's going to take place within the future. They don't stand still. They don't dwell upon the past. They look ahead. Successful ones. They're always planning. Trying to stay ahead of the game. Look how much technology has improved throughout the years. Every time I turn around, there's a new phone that's coming out, and they're smaller, but they do more. I heard on TV this morning that they're coming out with a phone that's going to be able to open and close your garage door, that you'll be able to scan your little cards that you have for like Kroger's to buy gas, to help somebody buy gasoline over the telephone. You can buy a cup of coffee for somebody in Seattle, Washington, over your telephone, a friend, by scanning your credit card. They keep planning. They keep improving. And that's what we need to look at. Am I ready for death? Am I ready for the second coming of Christ? You young men that are in this congregation, we haven't had elders for years. Are you striving to become one? Are you trying to learn as much as you can of God's Word and correct yourselves within your lot that you can become an elder or a deacon? Those who are younger yet, they aren't members of the body of Christ. They maybe are. How to become a good husband? How to become a good father? Are you learning? Are you watching? What can I do to make things better when I have a wife and children? Young women, what kind of husband you want? Are you planning for the future? What are you looking for? Have you ever thought about it? What kind of husband, what kind of man are you looking for to be your husband? Have we really sat back and thought about it? Us, as Christians, how can I improve in my worship service to God? What can I correct? What can I do that I'm not doing now? Can I improve in my speaking ability? Can I improve in my song leading? Can I offer a better prayer than what I've had been? Am I learning? Am I able to teach Bible class? Am I able to teach an adult class? How much effort have I put out? How much have I learned throughout these years? What do I need to strive for? What do I need to work on? Likewise, we need to be thinking about who can I save? Who can I help save their soul from eternal damnation? Have you thought about it? Who should I be talking to? Do I have a neighbor that I should be talking to? Do I have a relative that I need to be talking to help him save his soul? I'm asking these questions because we need to think about it. We need to take a good, hard look. Hebrews 11th chapter, beginning verse 24, Moses said, by faith, Moses, when he came to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in heaven or in Egypt. For he had respect to the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured, as seeing him who is invisible. Moses had everything at his feet. All he could ask for, if he just claimed to be the son of the daughter of Pharaoh. But he had faith in God that he wanted something much better than they could ever offer. Paul saw the crown ahead. In 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, verse 8, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and to not to me only, but unto all those that love his appearing. Paul kept looking forward. Paul was preparing himself for his death. Was preparing himself for the second coming of Christ. He wanted to receive heaven as his home. Are we applying ourselves the same way? Think about it. You know, I didn't really get to watch the news most of the week. But my dad mentioned to me about the flood that they had down in Arkansas, the flash flooding. You think them people were prepared? They never thought they would die. Completely caught them off guard. I believe 18 I heard this morning are dead. 22 are still missing. And they're looking hard for them, hoping to find them alive. But they really don't have a whole lot of faith that they will. They got a little bit. I'm asking you this morning, you ready to die? Because I could be driving down the highway this morning, go home. Somebody swerve across with my car malfunction. I go across the median strip and hit somebody head on. Up in Pittsburgh yesterday, a couple was talking about getting married and they're having a dinner after rehearsal. A van full pulled across the highway was slammed into by another truck, speeding down the road. The mother is in bad shape. She's in critical shape. And what's bad about it, all the relatives were sitting in the parking lot seeing it all take place. All happened. Now they're postponing their wedding, hoping that they all survive so that they can be there and celebrate this union. But we don't know. You think they expected it? They were really prepared. They wouldn't have happened. They would have known what was going to happen and avoided it. But it happened so quick. Caught them completely off guard. I'm going to ask you, what has God done for you? What has He done for me? Think long and hard. What is God doing for us? And what will God do for us if we remain faithful to death? You think about those things. We need to think. We need to apply these things into our lives. We need to take a look at our past, that we learn from our mistakes. We learn from what Israel went and done. If you did do God's will, you was punished. If you done God's will, you was blessed. Many times over. They received things that they couldn't even imagine. They enjoyed it for a short period of time, but they always fall away from God. And they were always punished for it. We need to avoid those mistakes. We need to take a good hard look at ourselves and ask ourselves, are we making those mistakes over and again? Are we just like Israel? We condemn them, but at the same time we're condemning them, we're actually condemning ourselves because we do act like them. And then we need to look at the future. Am I ready? God came down at this time. If I die, am I going to heaven? It could be awful honest. And if you've really done what God asked you to do, you know you'll be there. Will you? We're pleading with those who are not members of the body of Christ. You heard, you must believe Christ came, lived upon this earth, died upon that cross. And then you must confess. If we read in Matthew the 10th chapter, confess this before men who confess us before our Father. Repent. Be willing to change your whole life. And that's what we're asking about this morning. Have you changed your life? Then you've been being baptized to immersion, buried with Him in a watery grave, become a new creature. Sure. Live a faithful life to death, receive heaven as your home. That's a promise. I can't describe what heaven's going to be like except the way John tried to express it. No more sorrows, no more pain, no more tears. All this pain and agony we go through in our lifestyle won't be there. It's more beautiful than anything he could even describe in words. Paul strived for it. He'd done everything he could to get to heaven. We need to be like Paul. But we may have brought reproach upon ourselves, upon the body of Christ, fallen away. We left God, just like Israel has done in the past. We can't make it right. We can go to God in prayer and ask for forgiveness of those sins. And you can start over again. Wipe the slate clean. Your soul, your destiny, you think about those things if we stand to sing the song, Invitation.